my motivation is to make people laugh. I mean, religion to me is a giant elephant in the room of comic gold because, you know, we're talking about a garden with a talking snake. If you can't find humor there, people are just used to it.
Yeah.
That's why they don't laugh at it. So it's a very funny movie. It's a comedy. It's not really a documentary.
That, of course, is Bill Maher. His new film, Religious, is out in the theaters. He's very open about his atheism. He says, I preach a gospel of I don't know. He's not even really certain about his atheism. He thinks that smacks too much of religious certainty. We're going to be reviewing Bill Maher's Religious with Dr. Craig Hazen here in this hour of Issues, Etc. for the first half. A little bit later in the program, Dr. Ken Cherb will join us. We're going to talk about the most important result of Christopher Columbus's discovery. Dr. Ken Cherb, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri, coming up here in about 25 minutes on Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Craig Hazen is professor of comparative religion and Christian apologetics at Biola University, based in La Mirada, California. And he's author of the novel Five Sacred Crossings and author of a review of Bill Maher's new movie, Religious. Dr. Hazen, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, good to be with you, Todd.
Is the movie funny? Bill Maher says it is. Is it?
Well, you know, there's a couple of laughs in it. I mean, it's odd that I went into a theater the very first weekend, and the only people going to that movie were people who knew Bill Maher. I mean, to shell out $8 to $12, you know, an opening weekend. These were Bill Maher fans, and I was really surprised how few laughs there were from the audience. You know, I wouldn't be a great judge sitting in there because I didn't think all of it was funny. But I have some theories as to why they weren't laughing. There were definitely a few laughs, but it's funny that it had less to do with the religious issues and more with some of the clever production things they did.
Okay, so do you think, I mean, just in terms of reviewing it as a film, that the mockery of those things, both ridiculous and sublime, about religion and about Christianity in particular, can sustain a movie for 2 hours and an audience and really keep their interest?
No. But here's the deal. I mean, if I'm Bill Maher and Larry Charles, who's the director, you know, they put very little money into this movie to start with. So you can tell that really they put this thing together. There's a few laughs in it. But other than that, they're gonna make bank on a couple of weekends from folks who watch Bill Maher's show and know who Larry Charles is, like-minded people, they may get a couple of laughs out of it, but they're going to collect the money and run. This is not a sustainable movie or idea.
Maher is pitching the film as I'm going to tell you things about religion that everyone else is afraid to talk about. Does he really deliver on that?
No. In fact, you know, he claims to be mavericky, you know, kind of like Tina Fey and making fun of Sarah Palin. He's trying to be mavericky, but he ends up just being kind of ridiculous himself. In fact, my theory on this is that the reason there were so few laughs by an audience that would obviously already resonate with Maher is that they'd seen it all before. I mean, anybody with a TV remote in a living room any time during a 24-hour period can flip on some of the craziest religious goings-on you could imagine. And all he was doing was replaying some of this with a new soundtrack. The people who were thinking like Bill Maher already had already seen all this. And so I don't think they thought, it was probably worth their money, even those who were like-minded.
So should Christians get up on their hind legs and get all offended about Bill Maher's this film, Religious?
No, definitely don't go see it just to find out what the fuss is about. Don't give Bill Maher and Larry Charles any of your money. That would be a big mistake, especially if they we want to have them make as little money as possible so that they won't think about doing this kind of thing again. I'm really glad I got my ticket for free because even though I was out to review it, man, I would have had a lot of trouble shelling out money for this ridiculous piece.
Who does Maher interview in this comedy/documentary?
Well, it's Moes. He makes stops at some of the goofiest places he can find, you know. And he interviews lovely Christian people, really, who love Christ and follow him probably with all their heart and yet have never studied theology or have never encountered tough questions by a nasty skeptic. there's only one person in the film who actually you could consider a Christian intellectual, and that was Francis Collins, you know, the famous scientist who was head of the Genome Project. And it's funny because you could watch the film, and this scene comes on where they ask a few questions of Francis Collins, and none of it really makes sense because you know that they edited it down to nubs in the editing room and threw it back together as best they could to make even Francis Collins sound a little bit idiotic. Now, Francis Collins is not a theologian. He's not a biblical scholar. He's not the guy who would come to my mind first that you'd want to interview if you wanted to find out the straight scoop about Christian truth. But he is a smart guy, and I'm sure he gave Bill Maher a run for his money. We just didn't see any of it.
One of the people that is featured or interviewed in the film is Miranda De Jesus, a Florida pastor who claims to be Jesus Christ returned in the flesh. Now, I wonder, does Maher attempt to make a one-for-one comparison between the kind of claims Miranda De Jesus is making and the historic claims of Christianity?
Oh, of course. Bill Maher, he doesn't use a scalp at all. It's always a meat cleaver. He just conflates everything in religion, period. Whether doesn't have to be distinctions among various folks who consider themselves to be Christians. He simply lumps the whole mess together. It's one big irrational stew. So he can interview this fellow who's obviously, we would all consider cultic and far on the fringes of anything considered Christianity. And to Bill Maher, it doesn't matter.
Oh, I'm wondering, because comedy is a great tool, whether it be satire or whatever its form, and I think Christians probably should use it a little more. And yeah, Comedy can be thoughtful. In fact, the best comedy is thoughtful. Is, even with the comedy, this in any way a thoughtful examination of the basic truth claims of the Christian faith?
Oh, my goodness, no. It's utterly cynical. Bill Maher is not out to discover anything. He's solid in his presuppositions about religion in general, and he simply goes out to find the strangest examples so that he and like-minded folks can have a good laugh. And unfortunately, they didn't even end up having a good laugh, because I think people in the theaters had already seen it all before.
Does he draw a comparison between historic Christianity and Islamic terrorism?
You know, I don't remember him doing that directly, but indirectly he certainly does, because it's all, like I said, a big religious stew. And what he means by, religion or faith, of course, is everybody involved in that kind of activity is irrational and is simply doing blind leaping. You blindly leap into the religious abyss. Some people do it into Christianity. Some people do it into Islam. Others into Judaism. He actually didn't address Eastern religions at all.
Oh, really?
No, they didn't come up at all.
Are there any other blind spots in the film that you notice besides, if he's taking swipes at everybody and it's allegedly a broad brush against all religions, any other blind spots in there?
No, I think, in terms of dealing, he didn't deal with, Eskimo religion or Native American traditions or anything else. So he left out a lot of people. He had a good eye for the most ridiculous among the monotheistic traditions.
Why do you think he doesn't examine Eastern religions, given the fact that if you were just going to do a poll of the inhabitants of this planet, it's a pretty big proportion of religious beliefs here?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd actually like to ask him that. But so my best guess is this. They already look a little bit strange to Western eyes. Occasionally we'll see some film clips on the news or on PBS or something of some ritual going on in India, maybe a temple that really highlights a particular rat or monkey or something, and funeral pyres. So we already think that's a little bizarre. That can't be milked as easily for laughs. In other words, it looks strange to us already. I think Bill Maher wanted to take things that were familiar to us, in the Christian sense, or really any of the great monotheistic traditions and find the most ridiculous expressions where we, you know, when we see a church on every corner, we would go, is that what's going on in there? Oh, my goodness. So I just don't think there's any surprise value or shock value in Eastern traditions.
With only about 30 seconds before our first break, Craig, does Marr take Jesus on directly in the film Religious?
Funny you should ask that. Not really, but he certainly takes on a Jesus character. That is, at some Orlando Bible theme park, he actually spends quite a bit of time interviewing the fellow who plays Jesus. And that was an interesting interlude.
All right, when we come back from the break, I want to go into a little more depth with Craig Hazen as we review the new film starring Bill Maher, a comedian, called Religious. Dr. Craig Hazen is professor of comparative religion and Christian apologetics at Biola University in La Mirada, California. He's author of the novel Five Sacred Crossings and author of a review of Religious. After about 10 minutes conversation with Dr. Hazen, Dr. Ken Sherb is going to join us. We're going to talk about the most important result of Christopher Columbus's discovery on this Friday, the 10th of October, in advance of Columbus Day. Dr. Ken Sherb, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. Well, there are a couple things that are raised by Maher in the film that we'll talk about on the other side of the break. Claims often made by liberal Bible scholars that the New Testament was just a very late record of the events it claims to record, and that the Jesus story is just copped from other religions. We'll be right back. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Abortion and the morning after pill.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
For years, abortion advocates claimed that making the morning after pill available over the counter would decrease abortions. But recent studies show the opposite seems to be true. LifeNews.com reported that the number of abortions in Sweden, for example, rose 17% since 2000, despite the increase in sales of the morning after pill. Numbers from Scotland show the same phenomena. Abortion advocates said that the sale of the pill in America would bring a drop in unplanned pregnancies, leading to a drop in abortions as well. Sadly, the results say otherwise.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and Dr. Craig Hazen is our guest. We're reviewing the new film, Religious, starring Bill Maher. Craig, before the break, we were talking about some of the, or at least one of the claims that he makes with regard to Jesus. He doesn't actually take on Jesus, but someone who plays Jesus at a theme park. That's a good comic impulse. I'm wondering about, you mentioned that one of the claims that Maher makes in the film is that the Jesus story, such as it is in the New Testament, is merely copied or copped from other ancient religions. Does he offer any evidence? And even if he doesn't, how should we respond to this?
You know, not only does he offer no evidence for that, but he barely makes the case at all. I mean, he simply throws it out there very quickly. You know, obviously he didn't bring that up in the presence of a thoughtful biblical scholar or historian or anything. He just throws it out there like, this is something that everybody knows. And I must say, that's where this gets, this is where this has sort of an extra lack of integrity, just to throw those things out. That's just playing unfair. And I think Bill Maher himself is right when he says, this really isn't even a documentary, it's a comedy. Well, in this case, it's a farce. So he throws out an idea like, you know, Christianity is obviously the basic Christian stories, like, you know, the dying and rising God were simply ripoffs of ancient Egyptian religion or Mithraism in the ancient Near East. He just throws that out.
How should we respond to those who make these claims and say that they do have some kind of evidence for this?
Yeah, you know, I actually run a master's degree program in Christian apologetics here at Biola University, and we train people up to deal with these things. And we hear these claims that really were made most popular in our own day through the book The Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown. Dan Brown brought up these kinds of things. Well, Christianity, you know, that's really mostly derived from parallels with precursors in Egyptian religion and Mithraism. Until you actually do even a Google search of these kinds of issues will show you that that's completely unlikely, given that Mithraism the chronology is not right. Mithraism did not exist in a state before Christianity to actually influence the Christian tradition. If anything, the Christian tradition influenced Mithraism.
Okay, another claim that I think Maher tosses out in the film Religious is that the New Testament is a record, but it's such a late record, it certainly couldn't be accurate or reliable. Does he offer any evidence, and how would we respond?
No, in fact, that's an even tougher claim, a more important claim against the Christian faith, and he throws that out in a quicker manner than he did with the Egyptian religion and Mithraism issue. He throws it out and gives no evidence whatsoever, and it reminded me, honestly, of an English teacher I had when I was a freshman in high school who said such things. And I remember even this, you know, drippy-nosed freshman in high school sitting a couple of seats from me, I wasn't even a Christian at the time, who just actually took him to task on that. And a 14-year-old kid was taken on a seasoned veteran of the high school classroom because he was making a silly comment. And the kid gave the most a lightweight response to that, and still had the guy back on his heels. Maher hasn't even gone that far. He simply makes these claims like everybody knows this to be true. Well, even the tougher and more liberal critics of the Bible and Christian history, those who would not agree with our, you know, Bible-believing evangelical position, know better than to claim that the writers of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John never had contact with Jesus himself. That's just not something, that's not a place they would go. And the dates push right back on the time of Jesus himself. I mean, Matthew, even no matter if you're going to a conservative textbook or a liberal textbook, is thought to be written between 70 and 80 A.D. Mark, 60 and 70 A.D. Luke, 70 to 80 A.D. So these documents push right back onto the time of Jesus in the generation that had direct contact with him.
Okay, does Maher claim to have come to his ridicule of religion by any kind of previous careful examination? If the film doesn't do it, does he claim to have done a careful examination of religious claims and deemed it worthy of ridicule?
No, there's no examination going on. In fact, I would say the most telling part, I mean, this is probably the point at which I learned the most, was just hearing Bill Maher's own religious journey as a youth. You know, he was brought up in a home, in a Catholic home, but his father was Jewish, and so he kind of lived a religiously schizophrenic life. And he complains a lot about his Catholic school upbringing, but he was delighted that his entire family sort of abandoned church at age 13. And he was thrilled about that, but it was clear from his comments that his family never really took any of this seriously. So it seems to me an easy jump from that kind of religious upbringing where your parents aren't really taking the faith seriously to a person who becomes a skeptic, a radical skeptic later in life.
You say that there's a very important lesson that all Christians can learn from just seeing this mirror image reflected back, even through the distorted view of somebody like Bill Maher, about the way they talk about faith. What do you mean?
Wow, yeah. I really think that if I learned one thing as one big takeaway for a Christian going to see this, and I don't recommend Christians going to see this, read the reviews that are out there. That'll probably be good enough. But it reminds me of what we teach our students here at Biola so often, that we have bought hook, line, and sinker a definition of faith that the secular world owns. In other words, they believe that faith is something that's distinct from knowledge. It's something, it's really anti-knowledge. It's believing in spite of the evidence or in spite of evidence to the contrary. And that is not the biblical take on faith. Biblical take on faith really has nothing to do with blind leaping, at least in terms of its, when we talk about saving faith. Jesus was clear on this, as were the apostles, as were the prophets before them, that Jesus wanted us to know these things to be true. He makes this clear in Mark chapter 2 after healing the paralytic. He says, I did these things so that you will know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. He wants us to know these things to be true. He values objective evidence and reason and thoughtfulness.
Finally, then, what's wrong with simply treating Christianity as part of a greater mass of religions, lumping it together with all other religions?
Yeah, well, that's a big question for me because my latest book actually deals with that. It's called Five Sacred Crossings, and it's a novel. It's a short novel, 150 pages or so, but it's really dedicated to showing how Christianity is set apart from the other great religious traditions. And I give, in the course of the novel, five key reasons why Christianity is different than the other traditions. And one that I think we need to highlight in regard to a movie like this, is that Christianity is testable. It's testable. You can actually offer evidence for it and against it. That's really not possible in most of the other religions of the world. You know, Buddhism, for instance, isn't a religion for which you can offer objective evidence. You can talk about your personal experience of moving towards enlightenment, but you can't really talk about some sort of objective evidence pointing to the truth of Buddhist teachings. Christianity has that kind of objective testing right at its center. Jesus made the big deal about it. He said, in response to, show us a sign, he said, I'll show you one sign. You know, tear down this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. He wanted it to be grounded in history and in knowledge.
Dr. Craig Hazen is professor of comparative religion and Christian apologetics at Biola University, based in La Mirada, California, author of Five Sacred Crossings, a new novel, and he's author of a review of Religulous. You can read Dr. Hazen's review on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Dr. Hazen, thanks for being our guest.
My great pleasure.
He's right. Christianity can take a test. It can take the test of its claims. It does not lay its claims out there and say, oh, but by the way, these are purely subjective conclusions that we've drawn based upon our own inward feelings or experiences. You know, the apostles never make such claims. When they go forth from the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ to proclaim the forgiveness of sins in his name, to proclaim his death and resurrection, they never say, ever say, you know, we knew this Jesus guy. He died. We think he rose from the dead. At least if we feel like he rose from the dead, we think we saw him. We feel like we saw him. And on the basis of that, we want you to have that same feeling. No, nothing subjective about it. They just simply proclaim objective truth, such as a death and a resurrection. And they even are so bold as to say, we have seen him. So they proclaim testable, either falsifiable or verifiable facts, but not just facts, of course. They proclaim that there is repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of this crucified and risen Jesus, that this risen Jesus is, in fact, when he dies and when he rises again, doing it for you. and for me. So, yes, Christianity can take the test. And guess what? When movies like Religious come out, and it probably won't be the last one, Christianity can also take a joke. We don't need to get red-faced. We don't need to get worried. We might even laugh along a little bit, but Christianity can not only take the test, it can take a joke. And if we Christians can view this for what it is, the weak flailings of someone who doesn't understand Christianity and has rejected it without examination, we will do well. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Ken Scher.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Pastor John Pless of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on Treasury of Daily Prayer.
I know of no resource that comes close to Treasury of Daily Prayer in terms of providing both pastors and laity a richly Lutheran book for reading, reflection, and intercession.
Find out more about Treasury of Daily Prayer at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Treasury of Daily Prayer.
A racist graveyard in Georgia.
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the powerful book against racism called Darwin's Plantation, Evolution's Racist Roots.
I once had a rather sobering experience when I was speaking at a country church in Georgia on the topic of the origin of races. I asked someone about the graveyard beside the church, and I was told that many black slaves were buried there. It was easy to see their graves because they were just marked with simple stones. You see, slaves weren't allowed to have monuments like the people they worked for. I must admit, it's hard to understand how such racism permeated a land that's probably been the greatest Christian nation on earth. I wondered what the people buried there would have thought of my lecture. I explained there's only one race biologically, and there's only one skin color, shades of brown. Many people thanked me for putting them on the right path about the race issue. You know, although racism existed before Darwin, people need to see that evolutionary ideas about races have justified all kinds of prejudice. But the Bible teaches the correct history about human origins and is confirmed by science, and thus has answers to racism.
Ken Ham has a great DVD that shows how the Bible explains the origin of all people groups. It's not only a great resource to help combat racism, but it's also an effective evangelistic tool. Today's the last day we're offering it for your donation of any amount. Call our nonprofit ministry right now at 888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web, answersoffer.org.